We get things underway, though, this afternoon by welcoming into the program a novelist, essayist, and short story writer, the author of wonderful books like Motherless Brooklyn, Chronic City, The Fortress of Solitude, and the soon-to-be-released The Arrest. He'll be a big part of this weekend's Word Festival in Blue Hill. We're happy to welcome Jonathan Lethem to the show. Jonathan, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's nice to be in Maine, even remotely.
Now, have you been riding out the pandemic at your place in Maine?
No, I wish. I've never missed a summer in Blue Hill since I began spending time there. And early in this quarantine, I had the thought that I should just hightail it from Maine right away because I was beginning to teach remotely, so it didn't matter anywhere with a Zoom signal would work. But the logistics of crossing from California with my kids and their school and other kind of considerations just kept defeating this impulse. And I ended up staying here in the West all summer, which has been really actually kind of confusing for me to not get to the East Coast for the first time.
You are doing a lot to help out the Word Festival, including donating one of your paintings. And for people who don't know, that was... That was the path in life when you headed off to Bennington, was to be an artist, right?
Yeah. My father's a painter and actually was until very recently a resident of Maine. I just moved him out here to be with me in California. But he's a painter and has been exhibiting at, you know, the Barn Gallery in Ogunquit and other places along the coast over the last decades. And I grew up thinking I was going to be a fine artist. I made sculpture and paintings for a long time and went to college, you know, thinking that was what I was meant to do.
And what put you on this different path, one that us readers are quite grateful for?
Well, I was always also a big reader and kind of a fanatic for film and comic books and other narrative forms. And so I sort of, you know, as a with the boundless energies of youth, I thought I wanted to do all of it. And tell stories in some way. Paintings were exciting and I was kind of good at it. It was fun to impress people with my inherited gifts, but I really wanted to make stories happen with characters and situations. And so I started to think, well, maybe I'll be a filmmaker or a graphic novelist because that would employ my visual, talents or leanings. And then eventually I settled on just writing because I was also in love with language and it took me longer to learn to be good at it because I didn't have such a big head start, but it's been completely lucky fate for me to choose this path. I have no complaints.
Now, this original artwork that you've donated to the Word Festival, I understand there's an interesting story and the inspiration for that.
Yeah, it's a great story. So, I was doing my usual rounds of the yard sales and the barn sales in Blue Hill and East Blue Hill on a Saturday morning, and I went into a funky little sale right in the middle of my town, and there was this painting, very enigmatic egg tempera. Painting of a water bird overlooking the landscape, and I kind of fell in love with it. And it it turned out to have been painted by Julia Child's husband, who, you know, he's a really interesting character because he was not only Julia Child's husband, and you know, I think a very charming and sweet, devoted spouse. And an amateur nature painter, but he was a spy. This guy, Paul Child, worked for he was a diplomat, but he also worked for the OSS, I think. Mm. So I bought the painting and I hung it in my house and it became this sort of totemic object over the dining room table at my house in Maine. And when the time came to make something to donate to the cause of Word Festival fundraiser, I thought maybe I'll paint a version of the Paul Child painting, but make it kind of conflate it with my novel. So I painted this bird over again, but it's perching on the dashboard of this very futuristic car that's featured prominently in my new novel.
Well, let's talk about that. The arrest comes out November 10th. I like what I've read about it so far. Not post-apocalyptic, but certainly a world we're not quite used to or ready for.
Yeah, it's sort of a post-collapse novel. I think I would put it that way. And it's a very gentle one. It's set in a time in the very near future when a lot of stuff that we're accustomed to just sort of very gently and enigmatically stops working. There's no email anymore and there's no gasoline for the cars and guns won't work. And so everyone sort of settles into this very simplified existence, and it's also a very local existence. And the characters in my story are in a town in coastal Maine. And, you know, what happens when you subtract so many of those kinds of technologies? Well, it means that, you know, first of all, you don't know what's going on anywhere else. So everything just becomes, you know, what is your neighbor doing? What's happening down the road? You know, you, as far as you can bicycle or ride a horse. And then the other thing that happens is that the organic farmers become the people who rule the world. So far from being a dystopia, this book might exhibit a certain amount of wishful thinking on my part.
Well, yeah. After we were given the promise that the internet would bring us all together as one big world, and that hasn't played out so well.
How's that treating you? Yeah. Well, you know, technology is a funny story. You know, we're always idealizing the next thing to come along, and it's you know, I lived in the Bay Area in the 80s when Wired magazine was new and the internet was sort of being invented, and a degree of utopian fantasizing that went on around this, you know, the transformative capacities. It was just so out of control. Of course, there are a lot of things that are quite wonderful, and I spend, you know, great deal of time on the internet myself. And here we are talking remotely. You know, we all depend on these things without even thinking about it now, or we do think about it, but it's, you know, they're integral. So, you know, it's a very mixed blessing.
We're talking with Jonathan Lethem here on Downtown. Jonathan kicks off the Word Festival this Friday night at 7 p.m. with novelist Kate Christensen. More information at wordfest.org, and you can call them as well at 374-5632. I could not talk with you without bringing up a book that remains one of my favorite books of all time. It's one that I regularly reread, and I'm sure you've heard this from a lot more people than me, but I absolutely adore The Fortress of Solitude, and I think that, you know, the friendship of Mingus Rood and Dylan Ebdus is just one of the great friendships in all of fiction.
Oh, well, I'm really moved to hear you say it. I of course, poured a lot of my childhood into that book, not in terms of direct accounts. It's not a memoir, but the emotions and the perplexities of my own coming of age in New York City are you know, on display in some cases in a very raw form in that book. And so it's a you know, anytime you kind of tear your chest open and show your heart to the world, to have it be recalled affectionately as you just did is means a tremendous amount. I still think about that book and the circumstances that, you know, led me to write it all the time.
You never know what's going to happen when Hollywood gets its hands on a book of yours. And sometimes authors are happy, sometimes disappointed. But I thought Motherless Brooklyn was a wonderful film and was certainly largely faithful to the novel. What were your impressions of the book and the performance of the movie and the performances?
Well, I was just, you know, astounded that it happened at all. The book had been optioned when it first came out, and we're talking about 1999, and I'd grown so accustomed to it being just a postulated thing, you know, a film that was never going to exist. And so I, you know, there's a part of me that's still in disbelief. You know, I was invited to the set one day and I was watching the actors, you know, put on a version of a scene from my book. And I, even then I felt this isn't really occurring. This, no, there's no way there's going to be a film. But it's been an extraordinary experience for me. You know, the vision that Edward Norton had, he was the director and the writer as well as the star of the film, was so much his own. He really made an artifact that stands next to the book and has its own qualities and its own emphasis. And he turned it into a vehicle for thoughts he had about the gentrification of New York City and the you know, war with Robert Moses and developers and urban renewal. And it turned into something very timely. I think it's kind of lucky in a way that he couldn't make it for so long, because by the time it came out, it had a relevancy that it couldn't have had back when I wrote the book.
All right, away from writing for a moment, World Series begins tonight. My Red Sox not there, your Mets not there, but is this heading in a positive direction for the Mets, getting the team away from the Wilpons?
Well, boy, you're showing real inside Mets knowledge. Yeah, everyone is feeling this extraordinary relief that you know, we've gone from the sort of hopeless ownership to this apparent free spender who, you know, I mean, here the Dodgers are in the series for the fourth time in 5 years, mm-hmm. or something like that. And that's the model, right? We're meant to be a big market team, for better or worse. So, you know, look out. We'll be the ones stealing the next Mookie Betts away from the Red Sox if we're lucky.
And I have to ask you this, because you've written about him so eloquently. What did you think about the new Dylan album?
I adore the new Dylan album. I think it's really a marvel, and you know, how many gifts he's given us over the years. It's so strange that there can be another chapter. I was ready to, you know, I didn't object to it, but I wasn't getting a huge amount out of the sort of the Frank Sinatra years, we can call them. And that was okay. You know, his creativity has been volcanic, and it's provided us with so much over so many decades. If he was more or less done writing songs, that could be okay, you know. But I think this current record is really a wonder. It shows dimensions and ideas that are brand new. It also, you know, it expresses one of the things that I always think is characteristic of some of the very best of Dylan's work, which is that it's funny. It's his sense of humor is alive. And let me be anything like this in contact with my own creative impulses and powers when I'm his age. What a example he sets.
Absolutely. Jonathan Lethem kicks off the WordFest coming up on Friday at 7 p.m. More information at wordfest.org. And the new novel, The Arrest, comes out on November 10th. Can't we wait to read that. And Jonathan, it's been great to talk with you. Been a fan of your work for a long, long time. Appreciate you making time for us this afternoon.
Thanks so much, Rich.
Jonathan Lethem with us here on Downtown.